nest there, right there. And my sleeping, it was broken. But my chain, it lingered near. In the corner, Silent Valley, where the fear I recognized. And my sisters, in the open, I awaken to the cry.
Good morning. Welcome to the Henry Ainge Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, where you're the power to have your voice heard, the power to inform, to become informed from local to global on the issues you care about most on your hometown morning talk show, wherever your hometown may be. We're having a little bit of trouble reaching Matt Bruce, a host of the Captain's America radio show this morning. Hopefully we'll be able to bring him to you very shortly. We will... In the meantime, say hello to Wade Sears, who
hello,
was very
folks.
Kind to drive me here again today. Hello, Wade.
Hi. Bright red sky this morning in the east. Red sky in the morning. Sailors take warning, so watch yourself.
Let's go to the phone lines. You're live on the air?
It just so happens I was listening. I'm out here on my mobile this morning.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad you're here with us. This, of course, is Matt Bruce, host of the Captain's America radio show. We'll tell you more about the show in a moment. Matt, a lot of things are going on. A couple things I want to talk about before we talk about Syria. Turns out, Fed members gave their own banks $4 trillion during the bailout. A report released by the U.S. Government Accountability Office explains how the Federal Reserve divvied up more than $4 trillion in low-interest loans after the crisis of 2008, when the Federal Reserve looked towards bailing out some of the biggest banks in the country. More than one dozen of the financial institutions that benefit from the Fed's, quote, Hail Mary, were members of the central bank's own board, reported by the GAO. At least 18 current and former directors of the Fed regional branches saw to it that their own banks were awarded loans with often next to no interest by the country's central bank during the height of the financial crisis. This is one of the signature issues of the Tea Party, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But first of all, nobody cares about what these what the Fed is doing, because the big movement out there with the Tea Party is to end the Fed, to get rid of the Fed altogether, and to put a competent Treasury Secretary in there that doesn't answer to any political party. We need someone, if it's ever possible to do, that thinks of the country's economy, number one, and everything else, number two. And we've got somebody in there that's not paying attention to what's going on in the clubhouse, and there should be no surprise, because, Henry, how much of that money, that bailout money, did you get?
Well, I'm still looking for my bailout. and believe me, I could use it. You know, but the question is, though, the Fed was created back in the early part of the 20th century, and it was a product of J.P. Morgan and a lot of the other serious bankers of the time.
And the Rockefellers.
Yeah, and let's not forget them either.
Yep.
And it was never meant to be really a public institution. It was a private concern, quasi-public, that was created for the use of the major banks. Would we go to something like a European central bank? Would we go back to the days of Andrew Jackson when we had a national bank? What is the vision?
Well, I've been hearing different reports around the world, around the country, when it comes to banking, because a lot of countries have their own bank. For example, the Bank of Egypt, the Bank of Israel, the Bank of Lebanon, the Bank of Germany, the Bank of France. Those are all nationally owned government banks run lock, stock, and kitty hawk by the government. Now, would it be possible to have a Bank of the United States? Sure. Will we get rid of the Fed to do it? We'd have to, because you can't have two competing agencies running against each other.
Well, you know, interesting enough is there is a Bank of North Dakota that many people have held up as a model that, you know, taxes are deposited into the bank, and then the bank can use those monies in much the way a regular bank does. Yeah, they can loan it out to build roads. They can loan it out to build sewer systems and other infrastructure projects.
Well, North Dakota is an example for the entire country to follow, because right now North Dakota will be voting this week on eliminating their property taxes because of the oil boom that's there, that's going to be there for 100 years or more. They still have no idea how much oil has been found up there in their explorations in the state of North Dakota. Their unemployment rate is 1.5%. That's rounded off, 1.495. I'm calling it 1.5. And the unemployment rate in some of the larger cities inside North Dakota is less than a half of a percent. There is no unemployment. They're at full employment. Their economy is booming. We need to take a long look at what they're doing, and their financial system is just a part of the successful equation in North Dakota.
Yeah, and be sure and pack your long underwear when you go up there.
It's warm in the summer. It's warm in the summer, Henry.
Something that I know is very important to you, and which is the welfare of the military men and women in uniform. Another report today of men in Afghan police uniform shoot dead a NATO soldier. NATO soldier in eastern Afghanistan has been shot dead by three men in Afghan police uniform, officials say. The men fled the area after Sunday's attack. The NATO International Security Assistance Force says the incident is under investigation. Well, one would hope so. There's been a growing number of cases where Afghan soldiers have killed NATO colleagues. But it goes way beyond that, doesn't it, Matt? We only hear about the actual deaths, not the actual shootings.
That's true. It does go way beyond that. And the other thing that's a national embarrassment is the fact that we're actually averaging one serviceman or woman per day to suicide, either in the theater or back home when they come home. And that's another tragic number that's starting to show up, because these people, they may claim they're battle-hardened after three or four or five tours, but the fact of the matter is they're not really being vetted. And a lot of them that have these issues, no one's reporting it. You know, it's kind of like, well, you don't tell on me or I'll tell on you sort of thing going on right now. And we didn't have the support groups in Vietnam. We didn't have anything other than ourselves to talk to and to talk with, to vet ourselves after we came home from Vietnam. World War II was even worse than that, but it was the same sort of scenario. These guys and gals today have got all kinds of mechanisms and methods. And by the way, when it comes to trusting the people that are supposed to be guarding you, you know, we're giving a lot of our military security, guarding of our own support bases in Afghanistan to the Afghanis. We need to keep that under our own wraps, and we need to not let the Afghanis do that, because look at the end results.
We're speaking with Matt Bruce. He is the host of the Captain's America radio show, heard nationally and also locally. And Matt, tell people how they can hear your show.
Well, there's some great new news coming up. Starting this weekend, I'll be heard on Sirius XM X channel, Patriot Channel 125, from noon to 3 o'clock. It'll be in the alternating schedule. They're telling me I'll be playing at noon this week, and then it'll rotate. And then, of course, you can hear me on 99.9, 6 to 9 o'clock weeknights. I'll be broadcasting. I've had the fortunate honor to be able to broadcast from the Republican National Convention for 3 days from 6 to 9 in that time slot. And you'll be hearing more of me during the day on local stations as I opine on other radio shows.
Much as you do here. Looking at Syria, a lot of contrary reports. We have Russia denying a war games report. The ministry denied Iranian reports of a planned war game with Iran, China, and Syria off the Syrian coast. The Fars news agency, which is the Iranian news agency, called informed forces had some 90,000 troops from the four countries who are expected to participate. Then Syria says Russia to send Marines to naval base, confirming that it was preparing to send an elite unit of Marines to its naval base in Syria on Monday. sharply raising the stakes there. And then finally, Britain stops Russian ship carrying attack helicopters for Syria. What the heck is going on over there, Matt?
Well, let's add one more. You've got Lloyd's of London, the big insurer in England. What was that?
I don't know.
Okay. That was Lloyd's of London talking to us because they insure, they're the insurer of last resort that insure a lot of the cargoes. They actually canceled the insurance on two ships that were leaving with ammunition for Syria, and the ships turned around and went back to port. But what's going on over there is Russia's taking a more active part. They're clearly stamping and letting everybody know that Syria is their business, and that to go through Syria to make any changes at all, you have to go through Vladimir Putin and the Soviet Union.
And, and of course, it's Russian ale, but Vladimir Putin, don't you think that they would be happy very well with just a change of leadership? Just put a different talking head there, get rid of the Assad family, and, you know, get a little bit lower key, lower profile kind of leadership there.
Well, that would work, and certainly it's been discussed by both Russia, the United States, and all of the allies in the region, including the Arab League, and that would work. However, the big stone in the cog, if you will, is Assad himself. He refuses to go anywhere under any circumstances. He wants to die a martyr.
Well, maybe he will get his wish.
Very, very good possibility.
President Obama will be, by the way, we have Wade Sears in the studio too, and I don't know if he's had a chance to ever say hi to you before.
Hi, Matt.
Hello, he's way in the background, I can hear him, yep.
He's decided to use a different microphone.
Okay.
One or the other, either one of Wade, you can use.
Hi, Matt, listen, when you get around to it, I'd like your read on the vice presidential pick you think is going to happen. And you're going to be up there, so you'll see it close at hand. But do you have any prediction, any notion about who would be best for Romney or who would probably be a bad one? I don't know. Whatever you think on it.
Well, here's what we know so far. We know that Romney came out and said that Rubio is being vetted for the process after the reports came out and said he wasn't. And, of course, you can't believe what you read in the paper. I'm hearing Tim Pawlenty's name thrown around a lot. I don't know why, but I'm hearing his name thrown around a lot. I'm also, believe it or not, hearing the name of Robert Portman, the senator, who's a very low-key, introverted type of individual, very knowledgeable, the former budget director, and if they bring him aboard, it would be because of his economical background and the fact that he was able to balance the budget to a certain degree for 2 years while he was in the administration previous.
Yeah, and they usually don't care for a colorful vice president. They want ones that's confident but will stay in the background easily.
But well, I don't know. I think Romney wants someone with an economical background so that they can keep driving home the point about the economy. So therefore, I would think that Portman might be on the short list. And I would also think that Governor John Kasich from Ohio, who was a budget director under George H.W. Bush, and I believe he also worked in the Reagan term, would be another name to be thrown up there. Because if it's all about the economy, these are the guys who can help fix it.
Speaking of Matt Breese, host of the Captain's America radio show, what is the website, Matt?
TheCaptainsAmerica.talkspot.com. All the connections are in there, all the different ways to hear us. TheCaptainsAmerica.talkspot.com.
Yeah, ABC News' Jonathan Carl has said that Marco Rubio is not being vetted by Mitt Romney's vice presidential search team. He has not been asked to complete any questionnaires or been asked to turn over any financial documents typically required of potential vice presidential candidates. Although it is possible that Rubio may yet be asked to go through the vetting process, it has been nearly 2 months since Romney named his longtime aide Beth Myers to run his vice presidential search, reports Carl. The fact that Rubio has not been asked to turn over any documents by now is a strong indication that he is not on Romney's short list of potential running mates. Do you think they actually know? I'm sure they know that he has quite the controversial background on his financial affairs with the Florida Republican Party.
Now, of course they know that. Who wouldn't know that? Anyone in Republican or even Democratic circles would know that, because all you got to do is a Google search, you, me, or anybody, and we'll find out the same information. But ABC News has got this one wrong. He is being vented, and there's only two people that know, as Romney said yesterday, only two people that know what's going on in the process. One is Romney, one is his chief of staff, the other one, and neither one of them is talking. So we won't know until they decide to let us know.
Speaking with Matt Bruce, host of the Captain's America radio show. Well, Sheldon Adelson is back in the news, giving $1 million to the super PAC that's going to back Connie Mack. How is this Senate race shaping up?
Well, the Senate race in itself is becoming very interesting because we've got Dr. David Weldon, a former congressman who's entered into the race, who stirred a lot of interest. I don't know that he's going to go very far, but there's a debate coming up. I believe it's July the 27th. It's going to be the only debate televised across the state on the Florida public television network and sponsored by the Tampa Bay Times. Connie Mack has said he's not going to be there. This is not good for him. He's staying away from these debates with the candidates that have got clear and definitive differences between him and other people. And the fact of the matter is, this Sheldon Adelson gave $10 million to the Romney PAC. So this guy is talking about throwing $100 million out there. He's a gambler. His primary interest in the state of Florida, as you well know, was down in South Beach in Miami. He was one of the two Las Vegas casino entrepreneurs trying to get the casinos, the high-rise casinos, built down there in South Beach, and he still hasn't given up on that.
And also it turns out that FreedomWorks has now announced that its PAC is backing U.S. Representative Connie Mack also. How big a player are they?
They're a big player. They've got 200,000 members and growing. It's a whole bunch of conservatives, whether they be Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Tea Party folks, non-Tea Party folks. It's a huge group. Dick Armey, of course, started that one back in 2007, and they do have a significant voice in what's going on. They played a major part up there in Wisconsin.
Well, looking at the George Lemieux factor in the Senate race, where is he now? I mean, because the money's coming to Connie Mack. He's got FreedomWorks. He's got Adelson. Is Lemieux have any chance at all?
No. Financially, he's not getting hardly any money at all. He's having a problem trying to shake the image of being Charlie Crist's pal. I did a couple of interviews with him on the radio where he specifically said that he has no contact, nothing to do with Charlie Crist. He talked about how he got his appointment as U.S. Senator. It's not from him anyway, what we heard in the papers about a little bit of blackmail going on about Charlie and his boyfriends and all that sort of stuff, because, again, nobody's proven that, although the people that names were mentioned are no longer around in the state and nobody knows where they disappeared off to.
You know, one of the biggest new industries is the drone industry.
Yes, sir.
Not just the military drones that are U.S. military use, but they're now becoming prevalent with law enforcement agencies. Talks of drone patrolling U.S. skies spawns anxiety. The prospect of thousands of drones patrolling U.S. skies by the end of the decade is spawning anxiety across the political spectrum that Americans' privacy may be at risk. The concern has spilled over to Congress. There are bipartisan effects by lawmakers to address the civil liberties issues raised by drones. The drone market is expected to almost double over the next 2 years from current worldwide expenditures of nearly $6 billion annually. Where are we going with this?
Well, I'm afraid we're going to see more drones, and the problem that we've got is the constitutionality of this, because, first of all, it's okay to have a spy satellite and have it circulating the Earth every 45 minutes, taking pictures of wherever it goes and whatever it sees, but in order to fly a drone over somebody's farm, let's take that for an example, to watch and see if the cows are being properly fed or being artificially inseminated or whatever the deal might happen to be, or watching to see if a farmer is using pesticides banned by law in the state of Florida, or watching to see if the illegal aliens are coming across the border, which is a national security issue, that's something all by itself. You need to have something called a search warrant. You can't just fly over somebody's house, and you can't just fly over somebody's property and just spy on them for the purpose of spying. There has to be a reason. A judge has to okay it. And unfortunately, that didn't happen in the case of the farmers in Nebraska, some of the farmers in Wyoming, as well as Colorado, and some other instances. By the way, Henry, we did have a drone crash in Maryland, unexplained as to what it was doing, that it crashed in the marshy lands off the runway by the Air Force Base there in Maryland the other day, a week ago. That was kind of strange.
And with all these different law enforcement agencies, as well as other civil agencies.
Oh, they'll be flying over Tampa. They'll be flying over Tampa.
Who is going to regulate this? Is it going to be the FAA, or is it just going to be the Wild West at a certain altitude?
Well, the FAA has to give them a clearance to fly at a certain altitude and to plot a certain course and not to go out of that course. That's number one. Number two, the people that are going to be controlling the drones, for example, in Tampa, will be related to, if not, in fact, the Department of Homeland Security, possibly even the Department of Defense, because you're talking about a presidential convention and a green zone similar to what's going to be in Baghdad, where you won't be able to get into that zone unless you are properly credentialed to be in there and can pass the searches to get in through the different checkpoints.
We've been speaking with Matt Bruce, host of the Captain's America radio show. Are you streaming yet up there?
We should be next week, Henry, or certainly not later than the first. They finally got their computer in there. Finally got the wiring the guy in there.
Okay, well, it's always interesting on the technical side of the radio.
Yeah,
business.
I could have done it with my laptop, but they didn't want to hear that.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Hope to talk to you tomorrow on your radio show.
Yes, sir. Thanks very much. God bless America, and have a great day, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Matt Bruce, host of the Captain's America radio show. Speaking of money and elections, well, they like it.
And now for the presumptive Republican nominee for President, Mitt Romney.
Hello, everybody. You know, I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm sure everybody's heard. President Obama got a lot of positive feedback from doing this little comedy routine at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Made a couple of jokes at my expense, so I feel it's only fair that I try my hand at this comedianizing stuff. So, going to give it a whirl. Here we go. All right, President Obama likes to make fun of me, criticize me because I'm wealthy. President Obama says he wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Well, of course not. They don't have silver spoons in Kenya. In Kenya. Went much better for my staff earlier today. Also, I'm tired of hearing about how Barack got to slow jam the news on the Jimmy Fallon show just to show Mitt in some kind of old stiffy. I'd like to up the ante on this whole thing. So I'm going to try and engage in a little bit of what the kids like to call rap music. Help me out. I'd like to bring out one of my political advisors. He's just been here on a long drive on the roof of my car. Please welcome Roof Doggy Dog is going to help me out here. Oh, there you go. All right. See, ladies and gentlemen, the great thing about all these rappers is they are not afraid at all to talk about how much money they have and they spend. They're like me. Because I like big bucks, and I cannot lie. Yet still, I'm an average guy. I'm a big sports fan. I got big dreams, and my friends own the teams. I was young, and a baby's bib when I bought my first nice crib. I'm like you, no lying. If in a private jet, you're flying. Yeah, I don't put no coupons. I like great coupons. Yeah, I'm so rich, it'll make you spit. My shoes are made from sea biscuit. So, here's the thing. You know you want to see my bling. That's why lines are forming, crowds are swarming, trying to get a piece of the gangster moment. Everybody, yeah, I think I have made it plain. Boom for me, I'll make it rain. Because I'm here to the I, to the double T. Y'all best get up now and vote for me. Because I'm so rich, I'm so dapper. That's why they call me the plain white rapper.
I tried to be a good wife, but he needed to do something about his problem. It's not like he was the first man to deal with ED. There are solutions, like Viagra and Cialis. I begged him to go to the doctor, but he always found an excuse not to go. Finally, I told him he had to go. He came back with a prescription, and I thought our problems were solved. That is until we found out that they can cost up to $22 a pill. He said, no way can we afford that. Then we found out about Save On Med. With their relationships with licensed pharmacies in the U.S., Canada, and New Zealand, they were able to find generic Cialis and Viagra for just $5 a pill. That's right, just $5 a pill when you buy a package of 32. Smaller packages are available at other prices, and they're mailed right to your home. They also help people save up to 75% off the prices of heart, cholesterol, cancer, and thousands of other medicines. Give them a call at 727-388-6939. That's 727-388-6939. Save On Meds solved our problem, and they can solve yours. Now, you'll have to excuse me. Oh, honey, where are you? I have something you need to take care of.
Save On Med. Call 727-388-6939. That's 727-388-6939.
Hi, I'm Dennis Maley, editor of the BradentonTimes.com, your local online daily newspaper from Manatee County. Everyone knows the future of the media is on the web, and the BradentonTimes.com is the first and only local newspaper published exclusively online. Check out our events coverage and find out what's happening in Palmetto, Bradenton, and Lakewood Ranch, and beyond. The Times is your best source to keep up with local politics and know what issues are impacting your quality of life in Manatee County before it's too late. There's also local sports coverage like high school football, SCF, local fishing guides, and the Bradenton Marauders. Read about unique people in your community, new restaurants, and for political junkie, there's tons of exclusive editorials and columns analyzing state, local, and national politics. Check us out at www.thebradentontimes.com and sign up for our free weekly recap delivered to your inbox every Thursday morning. TheBradentonTimes.com, fact-based news and analysis without an agenda.
Henry Ranger, WWPR 1490 AM. You can send your email comments to henryrainshow@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/henryrainshow. You follow us on Twitter at henryrainshow. You can listen to the live audio stream here at the station at the station website, 1490WWPR.com. You can also get the podcast on demand at henryrainshow.podomatic.com. Wade Sears is in the studio. He was a little bit quiet during the captain's presentation. Any comments, Wade, about the things you heard there?
Oh, well, I always like a little bit quiet because my cold is, as you see, my cold is still with me from the Caribbean. But I always like Bruce's comments. He seems so very well informed, and it's really, he has to be doing an awful lot of research to be aware of this, but there's scarcely any topic that you can't find some good meaning in. Ask him anything, and I'm always pleased to hear him. I haven't taken to listening to his afternoon program, but I imagine that that's extremely informative, too. It sounds like he's on the radio just about all the time.
Pretty much. He's ubiquitous on the radio. He has the show there on the 6 to 9 slot up there in the Brooksville area, but really the signal goes northwards, well up into the North Florida area. And then, of course, he has his weekend show that's syndicated around the country. One thing we didn't get to ask him about, the National Security Agency says it would violate your privacy to say if we spied on you. The surveillance experts at the National Security Agency won't tell two powerful United States senators how many Americans have had their communications picked up by the agency as part of the sweeping new counterterrorism powers the reason it would violate your privacy to say so. The claim comes in a short letter sent Monday to civil libertarian Senators Ron Wyden and Mark Udall. The two members of the Intelligence Oversight Committee asked the NSA a simple question last month. Under the broad powers granted in 2008's expansion of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, how many persons inside the United States have been spied on by the NSA? In a letter acquired by Danger Room, Charles McCullough, the Inspector General of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the nominal head of the 16 U.S. spy agencies, told the senators that the NSA Inspector General and NSA leadership agreed that in IG review of the sort suggested would itself violate the privacy of U.S. persons. Is that Orwellian or what? We want to hear from you on this. 941-745-1490. What do you think of the national surveillance state? Is privacy just some quaint concept that used to be available to people, you know, like in the 1800s, back before technology? Or have we come to the point where it's ridiculous to even think that you have privacy? Also, several supervisors of elections throughout Florida emailed candidates and their consultants to inform them that the ballots to so-called early voters for the August 14th primary election will be mailed out on the week of July 10th. So if we are really, really, really getting to the primary season, Connie Mack, George Lemieux, numerous congressional representatives are going to be facing that day. And what would that be? That's just about 30 days away, less than that, from when they get mailed out, Wade.
You know, this morning, coming in to the station, I saw an amazing sight. Walking down the avenue with a golden shirt was a big guy. He was striding along. On the shirt, it said Dave Miner, Watchdog Miner. He was walking down Amante Avenue from about the about 30 seconds. By then, he'd made about 10 blocks from where his office is, and I was very impressed with that. He was waving at people. And didn't carry any sign, but had his big sweatshirt on, Watchdog Miner. So he's in the running again.
And he's listed on the ballot that way, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a perennial gadfly around the school board.
Very good at the school board meetings. Very good. I've seen him many times really call him to task on issues that they're neglecting or that they're doing the wrong thing about. And he does this as a private citizen. He stands up from the floor and tries to give them a sense of reality about something that they're talking about that they don't know. One of the things that I was impressed with is that the school board at one point decided, or somebody on the school board decided, that they should teach the students not just evolution, but they should also teach them the concept of that God did it, you know.
Intelligent design.
And that actually came from the mouth of that present chairman of the school board. He thought that intelligent design was a good idea. And this raised a real fuss from the floor, and even from the floor. But Dave Miner has always opposed that kind of absurdity on the part of the school board. As it turned out, they didn't quite pass, you know, that kind of legislation, but they really gave it consideration to preach intelligent design. He said it's no more theory than what's being taught now in evolution, and it may be just right, you know, it may be the thing that is really true. This from a school board member makes me think that there's a something lacking in the quality of our system that would let that kind of mentality be in the school board. I think you have a call there.
Let's go to the phone lines. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Henry.
Hello,
and
Lawrence.
Also to you, Mr. Wade.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, Henry, I'd like to point out, and by the way, you sound very good there, Henry, today. Your show's very thought-provoking. Captain's America mentioned Rob Portman. That's the same guy that I just want to remind everyone again, besides the blind squirrel and all that crap, that a year ago I pointed that out. But that's quite all right. I just want to point that out again.
Well, I would never deny you a chance to pat yourself on their back.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to do that. I get great enjoyment out of it.
What about the John Kasich idea?
John Kasich, he butted heads with the unions up there and hurt himself, but he's doing a great job. I think leaving Kasich in as governor, and Portman has the Office of Budget Management experience and will be better put to use in that manner. As a VP, I think he's better qualified for the job. Going to another subject, if I may, I'm hearing that the leak in the security issue with our Attorney General and so forth is possibly Leon Panetta. Have you heard that one? And what do you think about it? As the possibility is coming up, what would you think he should be done about that if that was the case?
Well, first of all, Leon Panetta is a longtime Washingtonian
Democrat. Right, Democrat. Yeah.
And he knows how to play the game, and I'm sure that he has leaked many times before on issues that he cares about.
Do you have you heard the rumor, or am I the only one that's heard this about it being possibly Panetta?
I am not aware of that.
Oh, okay. You haven't heard that one yet, but that's what I've heard. And I was just wondering, do you think if that's the case that the President of the United States ought to take action and lead in checking that out, don't you think?
I think that should President Obama get reelected, that we will see a new Attorney General in the next administration.
Okay. Hey, Wade, what do you think about that subject?
Well, tell me a little more about it. What leak are we really talking about here? I saw something about it, but I didn't pursue it carefully. What is the leak we're talking about? What was leaked?
The computer worm situation over with Israel and in Iran and jamming up their nuclear situation. You know, Henry, is Wade pulling my leg?
Well, I wouldn't pull your leg.
That would be a long distance.
I would like to have information about what you know. I mean, you may know things that that the public should know. And
well, the President of the United States, Wade, agreed that and made statements that the leak didn't come from his office or the White House. That it appears that it's definitely in his administration, and you're unaware of that situation?
Not that much. I think of the Valerie Plame leak. That was a big deal. I talked with her about it, by the way. I had a chance to.
Well, Dianne Feinstein has come out as a prominent Democrat and just said that this is not acceptable and should have a private a special counsel appointed. You're not aware of that?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't aware of
that. Oh, okay. Well, don't you think that the supposed largest leak in our lifetime has occurred or possibly ever in this country? Is something you maybe want to get caught up to speed about?
I think so. I do.
I think we have another caller on the line that can bring us right up to speed. Thanks.
I'm sure.
And hello to the dog. I mean, I always think of your dog when I hear you.
Well, you shouldn't talk to me like that. I'm not a dog. My name's Augie.
Hey, Augie. How's it going?
I'm fine. The leak situation, as I understand it, has to do with the worm was put out in the Bush administration. It got revealed during the Obama administration because a technician or one of the specialists in the nuclear efforts in Iran happened to go on with his own computer, and the worm leaked from the system that was in, and the Iranians didn't know about it. The Iranians then had it in the general computer system through the public because it came from the within the system that they had, and this is when this all came out. So this nonsense that somehow it's more corrupt because Obama has been doing this, or that the Israelis have been revealed and betrayed, and this is why Feinstein, being a Jew and so forth, is concerned about the implications that Israel causes, which they participated in. So this whole hullabaloo attacking Eric Holder over something that had happened long before him. Same thing with Fast and Furious and the ISA persecution of Holder to try to distract him from doing his job, perhaps on the voting issues, I think is at the heart of all this nonsense. But Gotcha Lawrence is always at it. He thinks he's got something that most people don't know and many people don't. So he tries to say, you know, what about this? What about that? Gotcha. I mean, it's just kind of silly. But, yeah, that's my view on that thing, Henry.
Well, Lawrence, I mean, Augie, excuse me for that. What an insult that was. Augie, thank you for raising the level of the discussion.
Thank you.
We actually have a technical issue here in the studio that needs to be dealt with. We're going to have a quick musical break, and we will be back in just a couple minutes.
Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the end of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they feel our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. From mental slavery, none but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing these songs of freedom? It's all I ever had. Redemption song, all I ever had. Redemption song, these songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
Henry Rain Show, WWPR, 1490 AM. Wade Sears in the studio with us again today. And quite the technical problems today. Not what I'm about to talk about, but, Wade, you've been around a while. When did you first wear glasses for reading?
I believe I was about 60, 65 maybe, I started to wear glasses. And then I had repeated glasses. And then as it happened, each time I got glasses, it didn't help me that much, and my eyesight got better. And over the past 10 years, it seems like that each time I go in, he says, well, there's not much change. If anything, I mean, I can still read a telephone book in bright light without any glasses at all. And so it's a function of light. I've never researched this, but there's some oddity in your eyesight improving as you age. Have you ever heard of that, anybody?
I've heard that you can strengthen your eyesight because what happens is, and also using glasses will cause deterioration, is that bright light causes your pupils to constrict.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a muscle. And that people wind up losing the ability, or rather they weaken their muscles by using glasses, when if they would just go out in a bright light and try and read, the muscles would constrict and they would be able to actually read in a bright light.
Well, when I'm in a light situation, many times I don't even put the glasses on. If the light is bright, it doesn't improve that much if I put them on. And these are done every year. My insurance gives me a new prescription every year if I want it. And I go in for it, and the guy says, well, there's not much change, and he may, since the insurance covers it, he may make a new set of glasses for me. But very often I say, well, there doesn't seem to be any change. And he doesn't seem much of a change either, my eye man. And I don't know what to make of that. I know that when I was a child, I didn't have electric lights. We read by lamplight, and it was dim light. And it was a bit of a challenge to do the reading I did by lamplight, just by flame. Nowadays, that's not a case for anybody, but people used to worry, oh, you don't have enough light, you'll ruin your eyes. Didn't ruin my eyes. I read a lot. And by lamplight, kerosene lamp. And I don't know. I am something to research, maybe.
So, and actually, probably in your day, you read by candlelight.
Actually, that's true. As a matter of fact, at one point, when my mother said we have to save on the coal oil, it was called then, kerosene, coal oil, she said, you can't be reading all night, but you can't use the oil. So I devised a deal. I had a big bar of soap, and I cut two holes in it,
and I stuck candles in each end of this bar soap, and I had two candles, and I read by candlelight, and that was less expensive. So that was one of the things. But again, that light seemed fine to me, especially since I was reading, you know, some of the sea tales that I enjoyed, Joseph Conrad and that sort of thing. That influenced my life for sure.
Is that why you got involved with the Merchant Marines?
It certainly has something to do with it, because I saw that there was an avenue there by which you could go out and look at the world if you did that. And that was one of the reasons my choice was to go into the Merchant Marine in the 40s and have the experiences I did.
In other news around Florida, Mark Caputo, who is, I guess, a pundit that is listened to here in the state, say Republicans and conservatives, particularly those in must-win Florida, felt Romney's advisors had disrespected Rubio. Democrats had a field day, explains Caputo, though it probably won't affect the campaign in the long term. The one-day messaging crisis could serve as a wake-up call to the campaign. Perhaps it's a lesson for the Romney campaign to shore up any leaks, said Brian Hughes, a Republican consultant, former spokesman for the state GOP. Let's go to the phone lines. You're live on the air.
Hey, Henry. So this is Nick in St. Pete. Sorry to forgive me for changing the topic. I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Ecuador for offering asylum to Julian Assange. You go, Ecuador. Peace, Henry.
All right. That almost got added to the list of tales I was going to, news stories I was going to do today, of course. Julian Assange of WikiLeaks being defeated in his attempt to avoid extradition from Great Britain, which, you know, in the long run, as we see how this is playing out, eventually will lead to an extradition to the U.S. with the highly questionable charges that await him in Sweden. And, he's quite the player, though, man. He got a lot of action going on there. You got to admit that. But anyway, yeah, the idea of, you know, a strong right of privacy, or a strong right of information, seems to be something that's difficult. Let me put Mitch Mallett on the mic for a second so he can preview his show.
Well, thank you, Henry. You know you're going to do that. We're going to talk about the Bloomberg poll that came out just under 2 hours ago that showed Barack Obama way ahead in the polls. And when you go into the issues, ahead on almost all the issues, and it doesn't look good for Mitt Romney. That's one of the things we're going to talk. We have actually a couple guests on the show today as well, and stay tuned.
All right. That's coming up in just a couple minutes. I want to thank Wag Sears for helping me out, getting me here in the morning. And we will be back tomorrow with another Henry Rain Show.